Monday, December 23rd, 2024, Board of Commissioners meeting starting at 9 a.m.
A current copy of the Open Meeting Act posted at the west wall near the entrance to the county board meeting room isn't available for review by all citizens in attendance. Now would be the time for public comment, so if there's anybody who wants to... After we take roll, we're going to do that.
And the pledge. The pledge of allegiance. Yes. And the pledge.
Boy, I got a lot on my mind.
First meeting.
The pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. All right, let's take
Marty.
Here.
Brian.
Present.
Bob.
Here.
Troy.
Here.
Excuse Scott. Motion excuse Scott.
Second.
Brian.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep. Now we'll go to public comment. Is there anybody who wants to talk about anything that's not on today's agenda? Now would be the time to come up.
Where's the copy of the agenda? I'm sorry. Is there where we want?
In the back there, yeah. Consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from December 9th. Approval of previous emergency meeting minutes from December 11th. Approval of payroll claims December 8th through December 21st. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims. Approval of monthly accounts payable claims. And approval of official office reports from the Register of Deeds, the county clerk, and the clerk of district court. There was one claim. It was the final claim for the engineering out on Lake Iwana, and we still have an issue with the water lines and the depth of that, so I went ahead and pulled that out. That's the only issue with that. And then payroll, because of the way things are set up today, she's frantically working on payroll right now, and I will take care of that right after the meeting. So. If there's any discrepancies, I'll let you know.
So moved on the consent agenda then.
I'd second that.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
New business. Mid-American Benefits Point C Group Health Plan with Matt and Robert to present the 24-25 group health dental plans and renewal options available for March 1, 2025. Requesting board's approval or renewal of the chair of employee disclosure form of any other health plan dental renewal documents, including the group health reassurance stop loss contract. Gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, morning, guys.
Well, you're not saying good afternoon, but
we're used to that, aren't we?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bob and I, excuse me, Robert and I dance around the table.
Thanks, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning. We are here to give you the renewal numbers for, we're a little ahead of schedule. which was by design. So we're here for the group Health and Dental, and I will turn it over to Matt because he's much smarter about this stuff than I am. So.
Thanks, Robert. Again, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Robert handed out some reports for you, and I handed out the actual proposal. I want to be respectful of your time. I believe is that everyone has been through this process with us before that's mm-hmm. on the board currently. Okay. So I'm going to hit some real highlights on the reports and make that relatively quick. So if you would, there are two reports that Robert handed out to you. And if you look at the top section, we'll play a little healthcare bingo, if you will. There's letters across the top, numbers down the side. One set of reports is for the current year through November. So it says the 3/1/24 to 2/28/25 year. And the other one is the prior year for the entire 12-month period on the prior year plan. So lay them top to bottom, side to side. However, I'll reference kind of both of them as we move along.
I don't know if I got them in the prior year. I might have been shorter. I should have shorter than them.
They should have been together.
Okay. All right.
Right? You should have got, yeah.
You got them both? Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
Want to make sure you're fully informed.
Yeah. Okay. So the first page is a synopsis.
Yeah. Maybe two there.
Is that right?
24 and March 25.
You
got 24 there.
Yeah,
they
may not
have. Should have
got
them.
Yeah, they were.
Brian
needs a 25.
I don't think I have it either. I think I need a
20. So if you handed them out single,
yep.
Robert, then they don't have them all because they're in pairs.
Okay, there's a 24 and a 20. There's a 24. So you have the.
He's got 24.
You got 25, okay.
Okay. So they were in pairs.
Okay.
My bad. So these are still paired up.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry. My bad.
So which one do I need?
Yeah.
There we go.
I need
24.
Troy needs 24. Robert.
I need 24, Robert.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Train monkeys here.
There we go.
Everybody else good? Okay.
Must be.
If not, I feel in instructing Robert how they were.
He already
sorted.
If you're short, let me know. I got plenty.
Okay. I'm short, so.
Sorry, that was.
All right, everybody got last year and this year?
Yep.
Fantastic. The first page is a synopsis of the enrollment for the medical plan, which is top left, the dental plan, top right. You can see the corresponding tiers of coverage, single, employee spouse, employee child, family, et cetera. Understanding that we utilize two-tier rating, we still track everyone in the system based on those designations, which would be an employee only, employee and their spouse, an employee and a child or multiple children, and then a family unit. If you come down to the bottom section, you'll see the paid claims that we dump in out of the system. And just as a point of reference on E38, we had last year 1.5 million in total claims. Through 9 months of this year on E38, about $943,000 in claims, $600,000 less. And the major component of that is if you look in column J for me, you'll recall that we had some laser risk assessments in the prior year, which I'll talk a little bit more about that, but that's a risk management tool within a self-funded plan, and you paid out $403,000 of liability in that plan year to, we don't have any lasers on the plan this year. Another component, if you look in column H, line 38, you'll see that last year the reinsurance carrier paid out almost $144,000 on your behalf. This year, about $1,000. What does that mean? Just in a quick scenario, your large claim risk has improved dramatically on your program. Okay. I'll talk more about that in the actual proposal. You turn the page for me. We have what's called up at the top the aggregate stop loss report. Yeah, I went front to back, trying to save paper. Everybody with me with the 2 years on the aggregate stop loss report there on line two. Down in the bottom right hand corner, you'll see a number in parentheses. This report is formatted for the reinsurance carrier. That number in parentheses is a good thing. That's what the county is saving by being self-insured against your maximum liability under the reinsurance contract. Point of reference. Go to column N, line 36, N36. You'll see a loss ratio component under your aggregate stop loss coverage. Last year, you're running at about 80%. This year, you're running at 90%. What does that mean? It means your non-catastrophic claims are running higher than they did last year. What you're going to see in another report a couple page back is that your total expenditure all in to date is running about the same as it was last year. And it's because last year we had laser liability that we paid out. We got some specific reinsurance returns to offset that. This year, we don't have specific reimbursements or a lot of large claims, but we have some utilization that's higher than last year. Not necessarily a bad thing, just trying to point out where some of the differences are year over year. This report goes to the reinsurance carrier every year, or every month, excuse me, and it shows them, gives them a snapshot of how your plan is performing for all of the non-catastrophic claims. But again, that number in the bottom right-hand corner, that's where you benefit directly from being a self-insured employer. Turn the page for me. This is also, it's called the Reinsurance Member Loss Report. This also goes to the reinsurance carrier each month. And you'll see a comparison of this year, last year, about the same number of participants. However, the numbers are relatively less than they were a year ago. And you'll also notice in that laser deductible column, we don't have any lasers this year. And so you see some of those large claim components. And that's part of what I was describing before and how the flow is working and where the claims are coming from. Fortunately, the claims for this year, we don't have any large ongoing claims that are going to be negatively impacted in your proposal. The current carrier is asking for a laser on one of the participants, but we have some alternative offers, and I'll get to that in just a second. Questions about these large claims? Again, about the same number of people historically. Sheree's very astute to that. We've had about the same number of folks kind of year over year hit that specific deductible amount. It's usually between 1 and 5, you know, and regularly about 2 or 3 people. Also, point of reference, questions, please stop and ask me. I know you've been through it a couple times. We try to keep the same reporting formats, etc. I'm a simple guy. I have to keep it simple for myself. Turn the page for me. This is called our plan cost summary on line 2. This is, again, for the medical prescription drug program. None of the information we've reviewed so far except the first page has dental components. We'll get to those. We dump in that rate metrics on line 7 and 8 through 11, all of the fixed cost. And then in columns N through P, we dump in the medical and RX claims that have actually been paid. And we get out to the bottom right-hand corner, S27 is your all-in cost. Okay, so that should be theoretically close to, you know, what you have on your accounting records, understanding there can be some timing variations with payment of invoices and claims, etc. Point of reference, S27 last year, $1,696,000. S27 year to date through November, which is 9 months, $1.2 million. I extrapolated that. That's a fancy term for I divided by 9, multiplied by 12. $1,614,000. Okay? So about $80,000 less. You're running better all in. Again, we got that laser, no laser, and that specific reimbursements, all of those components. But overall, you're running better this year, total cost, than you were a year ago, if the claim history continues on the pattern that it has for the first 9 months. Another thing that I look at, while those numbers are just gross totals, we also want to look at the number of employees that are on your plan, right? Because it makes a difference on your per employee per month cost. Last year, when we closed the year, you had an average of 90 employees on your plan. That cost was $18,847. Using that estimated number for the year end, in the 24-25 year, you have an average of 93 employees right now, three more than a year ago. The cost is $17,352. That's a reduction of $1,500 per employee if the trend continues. Okay, again, I'm trying to give you, you know, trends. What's happening? It's positive. We've had some bumps over the last several years, some high claims, catastrophic claims, some laser situations, etc. I would contend turning a corner, or as we look at averages, especially in the self-funded world, you have 1 to 2 really bad years, you have 1 to 2 really good years, and the rest fit in between. And I would say you're basically turning the corner, and that will be reflected in the renewal.
Matt, just a quick question. So the $17,000, is that per employee? What is that? That's for a single?
Yep. So that's the annualized calculation of the cost for one employee on your plan. So what I did, as an example, if you look at last year, $1,696,000, mm-hmm. I divided that by 90 people. And so it cost you $18,847 last year to have coverage for one person, for an employee only. When I add in the dependents, that number goes down to $14,375 when you look at covering everybody, which is about 118 people a year ago, and you have 128 average now. The reason I use those enrollment counts is if we just look at the numbers, we can see it's 80,000 less. But the material impact is even better because you're covering more people and spending less money. So your per employee or your per member cost went down on a percentage basis more than just your total overall cost, if that makes sense. So yeah, back to that, it was 18.8 a year ago. Projections for this year on the same claim pattern, 17,400 basically. So about a $1,400 reduction. That's annualized. Okay. That's a good thing. That's a great trend. Yeah. You want that number going down. Great, good question. Did I answer it for you?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
I'm going to get my calculator out. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to have you turn the page. Okay, so that's a good trend, and that'll be reflected in your renewal also. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but this is the detail of where your dollars went for the last 2 years on line items. And you can see always at the top are going to be like OP. You'll see the term OP on code 1172. That stands for outpatient. You have prescription drugs. You have IP is in there, inpatient. People know what the, you know, some of the other terms are, but there's where your large dollars are. And that makes sense just based on utilization and how healthcare works, dealing with your large claims. Nothing jumps out at us. No real overutilization issues whatsoever. So again, just giving you a snapshot. Also, as a point of reference, that number down at the bottom, that matches the numbers on the very first page on our summary. So just tying the detail into the summary for you. I'm going fast. Now, again, please ask questions. So trying to give you a high-level overview and tie it into the comments that I'm going to make on the renewal. Turn to the prime or the RX portion of it. I'm Couple good things. Top left-hand corner, you'll see it says current group, then it says current group metrics. And you see under demographics, that first column there, the average age. Your average age is going down. That's a good thing, just actuarially speaking. I'm guessing maybe you've had some retirements or older people leaving the fold and having some younger folks come on board. Some of the other components that are very telling, and this may not seem like much, but if you go over that summary column, the far right one, and you come down to the terms ICP, that stands for ingredient cost paid, and if you go to the fourth item there, you had about a $5 reduction in the cost per RX. That's positive. We do renegotiations with Prime every year through our PBM consulting arrangements. Your contract gets better every year as it relates to our actual discounts, and then also any rebates that come back to you are regularly increased on a year-over-year basis.
So is the drug plan administered by whichever provider we go with, or is that just a uniform drug plan that we're going to be on regardless of who we go with? The latter,
okay. Marty. Yeah, it's Prime when in the proposal will continue to be the prescription benefit manager, PBM, for your program. The only thing that really changes in the proposal setting is the reinsurance carrier, potentially. Yeah. But yeah, we'll do apples to apples, and we would continue with your Prime contract.
Okay.
Yep, good question. Turn a page for me, two pages on one of them, or actually just one page. I think we get to the dental section. This is completely self-insured. There's no reinsurance because there are annual caps on the plan. So you don't need to buy insurance. You have coverage automatically by virtue of the benefit design. You'll see last year we ended the year at a slight deficit on the funding. I'm on N31, okay, about $3,000. We opted basically to leave the rates about the same. If you look at this year to date, we are to the good about $5,100. You've heard me say before, probably, you know, dental plans are just kind of a dollar for dollar offset, and you try to set your ratings appropriately so that, you know, you don't have a huge gain or a huge loss in that capacity. What I can tell you, and I know our friend, unfortunately, that passed, Mr. Faber, regularly talked about you always want to self-fund your dental, and he would comment about the rates. And on J8 through 12, your rate's at $32 and $73. Single rates, like with Emeritus or blanking on some of the other ones, Principal, Delta, they are starting at the $45 range on a single, and they're well over $100 a month on families. And I mean, like $120 to $30 on families. So your program is performing well, and your rating is, you know, very, very favorable. I also have some more good news about the dental piece, and I'll get to that when we get through the proposal process.
Okay.
That's reporting in a nutshell. Again, your trend is down, right? That's, I guess, the key on a per employee, per month, or per year basis. Your trend is down, which is, that's absolutely a good thing. All right, we're going to transition to the proposal worksheets. There's a set of four pages. I'm going to focus on page one and page four for right now. If you'd like to set them side by side, I'm going to do something really quick. Take this page right here, which is the detail administrative page, and it has all the items, and we basically are doing an apples for apples. Now, in this matrix right here, you'll see a number, $46,920. Go to your other page, the proposal worksheet page, I'll call it, and you go to line 45, columns J, K, and L, $46,920. I just wanted to point blank reference that for you, because now I'm going to dive back into this page, the worksheet here, our plan rate analysis worksheet. But I wanted to give you a reference as where does that admin come from, and that includes our administration, Robert and his team's fees, your PPO fees, your utilization management fees, all of the different fee components of your program are a part of that number. So I want to make a quick point of reference for you. Everybody good? Going fast. I'm going to pause for 1 second, grab my water. Take a look at that. I've highlighted lines 24, 25, 30, 31, 44, 45 in the yellow. Column A is the description of the various components of your program. Again, it's a self-funded group health plan. You buy catastrophic risk protection, and you buy what they call aggregate or utilization protection. Column C is the enrollment counts for this year. Column I is your current plan. Column J is a renewal with the incumbent carrier that's on your account right now. And we have two additional options. We went out, just like we have in prior years, to about 23 different organizations in the past. And Robert and I were dialoguing a little bit. Last year, I think I maybe had one other quote. Wasn't competitive. Prior year, I don't think I had any other. 10 quotes back this year. That's why I said turn in the corner. There's some opportunity. Where does that opportunity lie? Your large claim risk has diminished significantly. And thus, I brought to the table two other alternatives in K and L. That's what those are. They're alternative carriers or MGUs or both on lines 7 and 8. Just so you know, we write nice blocks of business with both of those entities, so very comfortable and confident in both of them. Most importantly, they pay claims on behalf of our clients when you have reinsurance claims. All right, you guide me on refreshers or how expansive you want me to be in the descriptions of each of the line items. As I mentioned, you buy catastrophic risk protection, and that's outlined in row 10, 11, and 12. Your specific contract is a 12-18. What does that mean? The first number is the months when a claim is incurred. March 1st through February 28th or 29th of every year is when a claim is incurred. The second number, the 18, is when it's eligible for payment. So it's eligible for payment during that same March through February, and for an additional 6 months. Why do we do that? That's protection. In the event that there's a claim at the end of February that doesn't flow through the system, it can still be paid for another 6 months and honored under the reinsurance contract. You have a $1 million claim in February, you're going to pay $60,000. The reinsurance carrier is going to pay the balance. That's why we use that contract type. Row 11 is the coverage, medical and RX. Row 12 is a specific attachment. The county takes risk on every covered participant, employees, spouses, dependent children, of $60,000. That's the self-insured piece of the puzzle. In addition to that, you utilize a risk management tool on row 13 called an aggregating specific. The county is also liable for the first $30,000 of claims over the $60,000 level on one person or many people combined. Again, you get a $30,000 premium reduction dollar for dollar for taking that risk. Risk management tool. Lines 17 and 18 are laser liabilities. If you recall, what we do is an underwriting technique that allows individuals to be carved out just within your reinsurance policy. Again, huge point of emphasis. No difference for plan of benefits to the employees. This is completely a financial component of the plan. You don't have any lasers right now. You'll notice on the renewal from the incumbent, there is one laser assessment. I'll get into that. Underwriting for all of these quotes is absolutely complete and done, with the exception of an employer disclosure form, which I'll explain. Jump down to line 25. I'm going to skip the actual rates, but you'll see the specific premium for your catastrophic risk, $347,500. Good news as you move to the right. All the numbers are lower, some of them significantly lower, as much as a 20% reduction. You turn the corner on your large claim risk. You have carriers that are the incumbent included, just not to the same level that the other carriers are willing to take on that new risk for you. Mm-hmm. Come down to line 28, the aggregate premium in the total, paying about $12,000 this year. Again, those premiums are going down. Say, Matt, what is that coverage for? If you recall, said that the county takes a $60,000 risk on all covered folks, and that we are covering about 123 people right now. That liability, just mathematically, is $7.4 million. Right now you're paying $12,000 on row 31 to take that $7.4 million risk down to line 63, row 63, column I, $1.2 million. Okay, so that's what you're paying $12,000 for, reducing that risk from $7.8 million down to just short of 1.3.
12,000 annual or 12,000 monthly?
Annual.
Annual.
Row 31. It's an annualized.
Oh, I guess it says that.
Annualized premium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, correct. It's. I know Don has said it. Robert alludes. Sleep insurance is what my old former partners is. It's all those claims under $60,000, right? The regular day-to-day claims. So. Boom, that's column I. It kind of hit the highlights there. Column J is the renewal from U.S. Benefits. They've been on your plan. I have data in my file back to 21. They've been a good partner. They've paid your claims. They're a very reputable, credible organization. We negotiated. I gave them the last look, which I always do with the incumbent. They have a really good proposal. It's not as good as the other two. So if you just work your way across line 25, you can get a good feel for the difference there. You know, we're looking at about, what, $70,000 in reduction if you go to column K or column L in fixed cost, and then another two on the aggregate. So let's move down to line 52 for me, if you would. I don't want to be remiss here. Go to 45 first.
Okay.
Our admin, it's basically inflationary trend. It's asking for it. I'll look at the amount here. 5.2% of, and that's between some of, that's ourselves and one of the vendor companies. Midlands Choice took an increase this year, first time in about 5 years. Line 52, your renewal, the incumbent's coming in $34,000 less. The other companies add another $30,000 to that. That's dollar in hand, right? Come down to line 63 for me. You can see the corresponding aggregate attachments. Those are increasing. That's because your loss ratio is at 90% in that category this year. Come down to, just let's go down to line 73. This is all in worst case scenario. You still, in all the time that we've been working on your account, and I think Don Roberts said, rarely have an aggregate claim, so you're not hitting that $1.28 or $1.4 million. But this is your protection. That's your worst case. from $1,718,000. The incumbent's at $1,880,000. Best offer, all in, column K, Fairco, $1,830,000. That represents a 6.5% rate increase. Medical trend is running 8 to 12. RX trends running 10 to 15, and even if you have some specialty drugs, higher than that. You know, Robert and I were talking about other renewals they're seeing, et cetera, you know, and they're higher. Typically, we're seeing them in the 10 to, I mean, we've seen as high as 40% certain groups, et cetera. So you're bucking the trend, basically, in all areas. And the other part of this, the dynamic about that significant reduction in fixed cost, your known monthly fee is going to go down. And then claims. So let's say you had the same claim year you have this year. You would presumably save, let's say K or L. Call them K or L because they're virtually identical. Within a couple hundred bucks,
mm-hmm.
you're going to save $72,000 based on this renewal if your claims are similar to what they were last year. I'm going to pause. Joe?
That's not normal for me. We usually are not going. We're going, yeah, usually have gone the other direction. So.
Yeah.
So we're thrilled to give you that,
yeah,
news, hear that news.
Appreciate that.
What's a quick question? Line 57, the run-in limit. There's not available, not available, not available, and $221,700. What's
yep.
that?
And NA actually is not applicable.
Not applicable.
Not
okay.
applicable. So the Fair Code does not have a run-in limit. The other option B through Nationwide, effectively, they limit their run-in exposure because they're a new carrier. And what that means is of the line 63, the $1,478,000, they would only allow $221,700 of that to be incurred before March 1st of 2025. Okay, because the aggregate contract is different than the spec contract. If you look at line 55 for me, it operates in reverse. It looks back all the way 12 months and then allows all those claims for 24 months to be paid in that period. And the underwriter basically says, okay, for reporting purposes, credibility, integrity, et cetera, we're only willing to take $222,000 roughly of that risk coming into your contract. I talked to the underwriter previously, and they're pretty confident that they could get that waived if that's a sticking point. If they were the only game in town, you know, if I didn't have column K on the board, you know, I would have that conversation. But column K, honestly, is the lowest cost alternative on an apples-to-apples contract basis, with no run-in requirement or limit. Did I answer your question on the run-in? It's just a matter of they're saying, all right, we're taking that run-in contract, but we have a limit on how many claims that are out there. What they don't want to have happen is, and really this is the carrier Nationwide that's dictating this to our Stealth as the MGU partner we work with. It's like, yeah, we know you, we trust you, point C is good, et cetera, but we just have policy requirements. And we don't know if there's four $60,000 claims sitting out there that are going to run in, and, you know, they're not being paid or whatever the circumstance is. By the way, that's very, very common. I mean, like those other eight quotes I talked about, they would all have that type of provision. And they all vary based on the amount, somewhere between 20 and 30% of the total. Great question. So column K, one, being the lowest, also has, there isn't a liability factor there with that potential run-in limit. I don't want to muddy the waters, but I feel that it's prudent for me to talk about the other two worksheets and explain what they are and the differences. So I want you, I didn't have them numbered, I apologize. If you look at the one on row 12 that has $65,000 highlighted, and Bob has all three of his laying out side by side, you're welcome to do that. Matter of fact, that's a great idea. Why don't you just set 65 and then the next one is 70,000? So what we're doing is we're looking at moving up the ladder, the reinsurance ladder, for the county to take an additional $5,000 or $10,000 of risk on every covered participant. Why would you do that? Well, there's a thing called leverage trend in the underwriting and actuarial world that if you keep your specific at $60,000 every year, you're asking the reinsurance carrier to absorb all of the inflation. Okay, because claims are going up, just like we talked about. If you move up that ladder, you absorb some of that inflation, and it's reflected in your total program cost and your variable self-funding element. And here's how I'll explain that. Let's just focus on column K, column N, and column Q. Okay, I'm looking at that Fairco quote, because I don't know about y'all, but I've kind of ruled out your incumbent, right? They've done a great job, but they weren't able to get there this year. If you look at line 25 in column N, you'll see about a $15,000, $16,000 reduction in the premium. And if you go to column Q, out another $5,000, it goes down another about $14,000 or $15,000. This is where Cherie's always been really astute. Matt, why would you do this? And she does the math. How many people is it? It's three people. And what do I mean by that? It means three people go over 60 and up to 65 or up to 70 is the break even on the premium reduction that you receive. Okay, so the carrier's saying, we'll reduce our premium $15,000. You then know if three people go up to 65,000, you've essentially paid that in claims. Okay? But here's the other kicker. Look at line 73, your all-in cost. This is a key element in making this potential decision or move. You'll see that the total max cost is even less than at your current level. Okay, so you may forego that $15,000 of premium by paying it in claims because year over year you have about three people go over. But your all-in max cost liability isn't any more than it is on the other plan. So it's back to that risk reward. You know, you could bump up the ladder, take the variable cost component. If you don't have three people go over, you're going to save that money directly in your fixed cost. I don't try to make recommendations. I want to be advisory, give you equipped to be able to make a good decision. The other thing that I know Don has talked about historically, my two partners taught me early on, is sometimes, or a lot of times, when you have a favorable renewal, especially you have a very favorable fixed cost renewal, it's going down, you might leave that going up the ladder in your pocket till next year or a future year when you're staring at 20% increase in the face. And then you can shift those fixed costs into the variable side. And then you can have a potential win-win by having lower claims. You all said, Matt, we're going to 70 because we're going to take our premium from $400,000 this year to $300,000, our fixed cost. That would be a perfectly good decision.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving it at the 65 would also be a very prudent decision. Your enrollment has stayed fairly consistent. You all know better than I if you anticipate your enrollment to go up. or if you have people that might enroll, you know, that hadn't previously during open enrollment. Thoughts? Questions?
So, big picture, Matt, I thought you said that, tell me about the bottom line then premium year to year last year versus this proposal. I thought you said it was up 6%. Is that correct?
Yep.
And then the part two of that question is, so we just had then this last year a good year, no lasers, etc. on that, and so even at that, we still have a whatever increase this year.
Yeah. So let's talk that in a couple parts. So the increase that I was referring to is all in worst case liability of your program,
which you've never gotten to.
Okay.
So
okay.
this assumes worst case scenario.
Correct.
Okay.
So let's take the sheet that's at the $60,000 level and look at column I for me and come all the way down to line 73. Okay, we're at $1,718,000. So to answer your first question, the 6.5% increase is comparing column K, line 73, $1,830,000 to the $1,718,000. So your worst case insured liability, you're on a self-insured plan, but you're buying reinsurance, your worst case maximum liability is going up 6.5% at $1.8 million.
So roughly $120,000.
Correct. Now, to Robert's point, if you go up to line 52, you're actually saving 70, $72,000 of fixed cost. So the only way that you're actually going to realize more cost for the county is if on line 63 your claims, you know, exceed $1,284,000, that's column I this year, or go up to that $1,468,000, because the carrier has given you credit on the fixed cost side, which are known dollars. That's yours.
Leave the building, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Those dollars leave.
And then they've asked you for basically 6.5% on the variable side of it. Now, what we were looking at in the reports, if we move forward, I estimated in that extrapolation, fancy underwriting term, that we would end the year at $1,613,000. So what I want you to compare that to, again, is column I, line 73. Column I, 73. $1,718,000. To Robert's point, we anticipate you're going to finish at $1,613,000. $100,000 less, $105,000. And that's running at a 90% loss ratio. If you would be somewhere in the expected, now I'll throw this expected piece. Look at column K and go all the way down to line 86. They would expect you to come in around $1.5 million. If you run at 80% loss ratio instead of 90, you'll be at that number. No, I can't guarantee that, but that's a synopsis of, okay, because I think, Bob, maybe you're thinking, well, why are we getting an increase? Basically, it's an inflationary increase to cover by staying at this level.
And your staff, and the easiest way we talk about that is your staff, everybody on the staff, a year older.
The hard part to look at with the self-insurance part of it, because normally when you buy something, you say, this is what it cost me, and I can compare it to last year and the year before and the year before. Well, we're buying coverage, but we're not buying a particular item. So it's hard to say exactly what it's going to be till the end of the year because, you know, we're self-insured to that first $60,000. So,
And that's
difficult to...
Yep.
Make it work that way in my brain, who doesn't deal with insurance every day.
Well, yeah, and you're exactly right. So if you now want to boil it down kind of to a rate-to-rate component, you know, if you look at lines 66 and 67, you know, I usually look in big dollars. Not big dollars, but the totals, because the carriers look at it that way. To tell you honestly how they do it, they calculate the totals, and then they back into the rates. Mm-hmm. So they want to collect, you know, 300 and or $275,000 a premium, and then they know the aggregate needs to be $1.4 million, et cetera. But you can see what the rating components do. You know, 1138 to 1219, 3033 to 3209. Now, point of reference, the majority of our county, city clients, et cetera, use these kind of these max cost rates as their budget and their rating components. Some organizations, depending on their reserve capacity, et cetera, will modify those rates. We're not privy to that. That's not part of what we do necessarily. Happy to, you know, have those discussions. But you all know if there are any dollars, you know, available, reserves, et cetera. But again, line 73 is your worst case scenario. That's all in, and that's going up the 6.5%, which all of it is in the variable cost, right? Because we know, as Robert said, you know, cash in hand reduction of approximately $70,000, $72,000 on your fixed cost component. Rarely see that, as he alluded to, having your specific premium go down. And that's competitive nature, but also the fact that your large claim exposure has decreased significantly over the last 3 years. Thoughts? Questions?
Well, it's better than we've heard the last several years.
That it is.
Yes.
Do you see different counties, cities, et cetera, are they, is there more self-insured?
Yes.
Yes.
I can tell you that for sure. And more and more of them, you all, several of you just came from an ACO conference. I don't know if they talk about their program or not. But their program, I'll characterize it this way, because I don't want to seem derogatory. I think if they would be fair, they would say that it's deteriorating a little bit. This last July, they actually they put categories of rating based on underwriting. It's the first time they've ever done it. They've always underwritten as a complete group, and everybody had the same rates. Now, there was some A, B, and C categories before, but this last year, they came out with a variety of different increases across, based on your underwriting, your group size, et cetera. We work with lots of organizations like Robert's company throughout Nebraska, Iowa, et cetera, and we've seen a lot of movement out of the NACO plan for those counties. And to your point, several of them are self-insuring. Several of them are looking at other commercial options in that capacity. But you're not alone. Groups of your size are regularly self-insuring. There's statistics, and I can get them to you, if the increase of the number of self-funded employers over the years has gone up dramatically. I'm biased, obviously, because of what I do, but in a fully insured environment, to your point, Mark said, you know what you pay, and you know what you're going to get. In this environment, you know what you're going to get, and you know that I'm going to pay this much. And then what I always want to have happen is this line 73 number, $1.8 million, I want that to be in the neighborhood of the best apples to apples fully insured plan that you could get. Because as Robert said, been working on your account longer than I have, you haven't ever met that. Right. You know, you're always saving money by being self-insured.
Yeah.
And you have much more flexibility, plan design, all of those elements. That was kind of a long-winded answer. Bob, to your question. But.
One last thing. So from another big picture question then. So a county or a city, say that has 1,000 employees, and they provide, say our premium is $15,000, roughly, whatever that number is, and they buy it down to 7. So that they pay the 7,000 towards the 15, and then their employee pays the rest of that. Do you see that plan?
Yes, but I need to ask you a couple questions.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, where do they get the 15,000?
I think those.
Well, whatever.
Costs 15,000. Your number.
Say it costs 15,000 for the employee and for the policy.
Okay? Like the deductible?
No.
The cost per year is 15,000. I'm just throwing out a rough number.
You'd give it them that.
But they buy it, so the employee gets the free insurance, but they buy it down to say 7,500 or 7,000, whatever that number is. Do you see that plan working? Because I know the city of Omaha does that.
The county buys it down, or employee buys it down?
It's the city, the county, or the city buys it down.
Okay.
So the employer buys that down.
Okay, so here's I'll use a comment. Oftentimes, companies do not self-insure or self-fund a self-funded plan. What do I mean by that? So the reason I asked you about where's the 15,000 come from, but you all are at 60, right? The county takes the first $60,000 of claims, with the exception you have a deductible. You have a $1,500 deductible for an individual. Okay, so that's the deductible. You have an out-of-pocket of $2,500. So your employee pays up to $2,500, and then you're paying 60, and then the reinsurance carrier is paying the rest. So what I'm trying to understand in your question is, where's the 15 come from? And then if the city of Omaha...
Well, I think what they do is, maybe my question, I wasn't clear enough, so I'll try it one more time. So if the policy costs 15,000, the employer then says, we'll pay half of that. Right. Mm-hmm. Then the employee.
Yeah.
Then.
You're talking about your contribution.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you got where he was going. I got where you're going.
So you're talking about how much you have your employees pay.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So that to me is a 50%.
Whatever that number is.
Yeah.
Right. Well, first of all, like cities, counties, etc., usually pay a whole lot more of that. So, mm-hmm. To your point, are the companies doing it? Yeah, companies have done it virtually forever,
mm-hmm.
where they're sharing the cost with their employees at some
level.
But
it really wouldn't have anything to do with the coverage. The coverage is a whole separate.
Right. It's correct. Just it's funded.
It's correct. So here's the way I could look at it right now. So we'll go to line 66. If your established COBRA equivalent rate for your program is $1,138 a month, that's going to be $14,000 a year. I think mm-hmm. what you're saying then is, how much does the county pay? How much does the employee pay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
You already have. You. I don't know what your.
We do 100% on single.
Okay.
And then family.
But that's negotiated. It's not through your bargaining unions, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's already being done here. And yes, virtually all our employers are sharing the cost at some level. You're sharing it through your family contributions. Yeah. There are very few of our clients that pay 100%. I can tell you that almost all of them have some sort of contribution. It might be small, a set dollar amount, say 5% or something, for the employees. And more of them are asking their employees to pay more for their dependent coverage. And kind of the overarching philosophy of that is, the majority of spouses are employed, just nationally, actuarially, et cetera. So as an employer, they're saying, hey, if the other employer is offering coverage, then let's maybe incentivize them or ask them to participate on that employer's coverage. And so they're lowering the percentages they're paying for dependents and family coverage.
Okay, then last question. Let's say a spouse has another option for insurance. Mm-hmm. Don had always said that you can't cherry pick who's on and who's off, because if you do that, then you end up, pool gets muddied a little bit. Does that still hold true?
Yeah.
That.
Yes.
I would say toward what Robert said, discrimination more so than the pool getting muddied. Mm-hmm. Because there's various schools of thought there, but let's say I'm on your plan as a spouse. My spouse is your employee, and I have a long-term chronic illness, and it costs you $60,000 every year on your plan, and I have coverage through my employer. You paying less for my family premium might indirectly incentivize me to go on my employer's plan. It's an individual calculation based on benefits of coverage, what premium's coming out of my pocket, all of those dynamics. But if I move off your plan, you immediately eliminate $60,000 out of your plan on a year-over-year basis. So, there's companies out there that are putting spousal surcharges, meaning charging more for you to cover your spouse with the incentive for you to go on your spouse's coverage. Some of them do these cash in lieu programs where they will pay for you not to be covered under the plan. Now, you don't want that to happen to a large extreme. That's where you have the pool impact, potentially. But yeah, so all of those things are being done by companies. There's some have gone so far to they don't cover spouses at all if you have other coverage available.
Mm-hmm. They have to be on the other coverage.
I'll give you a point. Then this I give this analogy intentionally because you might not intuitively think of it. One of our employees' spouses works at Creighton University. And Creighton University has a very large spousal surcharge that basically incentivizes everybody to go on to other plans. Creighton University. They understand the numbers. Most of those companies, you talk about a thousand, like Citigroup, they don't even buy reinsurance. They're completely self-insured.
They,
just because of their mass and numbers. But so their level, say instead of being 60, like we have a group of 350, their specific attachment's $170,000. If they have somebody on their plan go off that is a chronic ongoing risk, that saves them $170,000 every year, just like that. I'm advising, educating, not advocating, because companies make all kinds of decisions like that. But I want to make sure I'm answering your questions, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a question. Of the counties you do business with, how many of them charge the employee for single? Not cities, counties.
Mm-hmm. I think you're the only one that doesn't charge something.
Okay.
And that I can recollect.
And how many counties would you say you're talking that you work with? Roughly.
For all the different lines of services we do, we're like 43. For your programs, I think we have like eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they range, so you're like in the middle. They range from being 30 employees at a smaller county to being almost 300 employees at a lot larger county. And I just say that because those dynamics have relevance as to what they do and their budgets, et cetera. But I can tell you there's been a shift away from that 100% coverage level. for a variety of different reasons.
When I went to Kearney, I just asked a lot of counties, and all the counties I talked to have paid full for the single, and I know a lot of businesses don't, but that's why I asked the question. Mm-hmm. Just.
Yeah, and I think that has been historically accurate. I think the trend is that they're changing. I'd be interested to know, like I mentioned, this cash in lieu program where they'll offer money for them not to be on their plan. And I've seen a lot of those tied to the 100% coverage one. And so because the only way to get somebody to go off your plan, if you're paying 100%, would be to offer them something else. And that's what those counties have done. Now, for a new county, like if you had ever explored doing that, the challenge with dealing with the anti-discrimination stuff is whoever's not on your plan right now, you'd automatically pay them. You know, so there's an offset to those dollars.
Mm-hmm.
My numbers align kind of. I mean, you've talked to a lot of different people and probably have come up. You know, there's 93 counties in Nebraska.
I didn't talk to all 93, I guarantee.
Yeah, right. And one, I think a lot of the smaller counties have historically paid 100%. I would say it's probably the larger counties that have gone away from that. And it's not always big, but to me, part of their strategy has been to create value proposition for it. There's value to this coverage, where there's no contribution whatsoever, the only value to it is the benefit itself.
All right. Well, thank you for all that information.
So, question, I know what's written on the agenda.
Yep.
I have, so on the, whatever decision you decide to make, column J, there's no disclosure form needed. It's noted down at the bottom. Column K, I have a disclosure form that would need to be signed today. Column L, a disclosure form would be forthcoming if they are the winner or selected. So give me some guidance on how you want to handle the agenda, if you're planning on making a decision today.
I know you don't recommend, but you mentioned Fairco.
Correct.
Is the low...
Yes.
Lowest.
Yep. So, to your point, they have the lowest of all of the elements, meaning the premiums, the total max cost. I've worked with this organization for as long as I've been in this business. They're very reputable. They pay claims. I talked to the underwriter on the drive down here, as a matter of fact. So I have complete confidence if that's a decision that you make.
One thing before we go forward with any of those types of decisions, I think we should decide if we want to do the $60,000, the $65,000, or the $70,000. You know, before we decide, I think that at this point, I personally would be more comfortable with the $60,000. Like you say, it's a term where it's a good year, and you know, we've never gotten to our maximum. But I think just for the difference in the cost, without exposing ourselves any further, I think that I would stay at 60. In my thoughts,
and I'd agree with that.
While you're deliberating, Robert's going to hand out one more thing. Don't focus on that though. Keep deliberating on this. I'll come to that in a second.
I would agree with Marty.
I would agree too, Marty.
All right. Right.
There's some good news here too on the dental side. Not as flashy, but there is some good news.
Right now, you do not have a dental network. So your people go to any dentist they like, and we pay claims like at the 90th percentile, just standard industry practices, et cetera. And then you have a capped benefit. So we have partnered, actually for many years, but more aggressively, if you will, recently with an organization called Connection Dental. They're part of GHA. GHA is the Government Employees Health Association. If you watch Chiefs football, you'll see their sign on the stadium. You know, maybe they relinquished the $20 million and cut their fees. But anyway, They have dental plans, medical, they have a variety of things, mostly for federal employees, but they allow access to their dental network. So I took your dental claims for all of 23 and through 24 through October 30th and had them run an analysis for me. And what you'll see on this page that Robert handed out is first the 24 data, then the 23 data. And about half of your claims are already being done, services being provided at GHA contracted dentist.
Oh, okay.
So Matt Woolenwaver's on your plan. John Smith, my dentist, is with GHA. If we implement this network on your plan, I immediately get an average, if you see the average savings per claim, $122 savings on the claim, you know. So the way we would implement this would be on a passive basis, meaning your people don't have to go there.
They're
if
they don't have to change if they don't want to.
No benefit changes or differentials, etc. And here's what it costs. If you look at that detail admin page that I alluded to early on, you go down about
right there,
three-fourths of the way.
The red, it's got the red, red lettering, the red
there you go, Brian,
there
you got
go.
It.
Right there.
Three-fourths down the way, you'll see the admin fee for dental. It's completely self-assured, and then you'll see the next box. It's a whopping 80 cents per employee per month, or approximately $1,000 annually of additional fixed cost. And we have safe, this is real. Meaning this literally, if it would have happened a year ago when we had it, you'd have saved, combined, the county and your participants. Why did I say that? Well, the cost to them also goes down, right? Because what happens if it's a $100 charge, through GHA it's only 80. It's just like the Midlands Choice process. So you have $9,600, $8,700. This would be the proverbial no-brainer. In my humble opinion, again, to Robert's point, no impact to your people. They get a new card and it has GHA on it. When they give it to their dentist, instead of paying $100, you pay 80. And they have a great referral program too. For those of us that may not be going to a GHA dentist, they have a formal program where you can get them connected with GHA and they'll ask them if they'll participate. Robert made a funny on the way over here. Yep, I go ask my dentist, and he'll say, yeah, and you're asking me to take less money again.
We had the conversation. I was drinking hamburger the other day.
Anyway, I didn't mean to digress.
So is that part of what we need to do with our other today?
Correct.
Okay. What do we need on today on the Fairco, if we go with Fairco? You have a form, or do you have that?
Yep.
I'll make a motion then, Marty, if we're ready for that, on going with Fairco as the provider with the 60,000 figure on the whatever that number is for.
Yeah.
60,000 max. And also the Point C dental. Portion.
Renewal option A.
Yeah. Of that.
Renewal option A.
Renewal option A.
Yep.
Yeah. That would be your motion, Bob?
That's my motion.
Second.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes. What I'm giving, Marty, this is the employer disclosure form. It's a formality. What's been documented on here is that we, as your TPA, has provided the organization all of the underwriting information. And we have done that. I can assure you of all those things. What I need is initials right here, and then your signature on that middle line. I assign and attest to this also. Do you want to date it, or I can date it?
What is the date?
12/23.
Days are going to get longer now.
That's right. Amen. Can I email you a copy of this?
Yeah.
Let me get back.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you very much.
I would say keep up the good work, and hopefully we can have similar deals going forward, because, like I say, it's been a bumpy road.
Yeah.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you for your time.
And also, would like going forward to have like the mid-year review again. So.
Well, we're also talking about a mid-year renewal too, but that's for another day. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Yep. Right. Absolutely. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. All right, B. Approve resolution 24C-032, fixing salaries for 2025 calendar year for deputies pursuant to Nebraska revised statute 24-1114-23-114.09 and 23-1204. The deputy salaries, they take place at the first of the year, everything else in the courthouse, you know, at the July 1. It's just the way that it's set up statutorily. It was the 4% like everything else was, and that is on the back of this sheet there. So that's where we're at.
So I'll make a motion to approve the resolution as submitted.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Todd Yule, Jill Maintenance, and Jack Carlson, or Brio Energy presenting maintenance service agreement on jail's evac, requesting board approval.
And that Jack couldn't make it today. So, you guys should have it in front of you. Did they get it printed off for you? Mm-hmm. So a couple things to point out. Normally, I personally would never recommend 5 years on anything, but it's written in there that we can cancel that at any time. So I went over it with Captain DeRoyne over there, and also with Jack, and kind of tried to figure out what we needed, what we didn't, so they weren't putting stuff in there we didn't necessarily need. What this here entails is the first year, the only difference besides the price is the first year will include 2 maintenance visits where they'll come in and do diagnostics and preventive maintenance and check over our system. And then years 2 through 5 will only have 1 site visit to do the same thing. So the values with this, I think we definitely need 1, 2 years, maybe even 3. I don't know about the 5, but we can cancel at any time. But what's kind of nice is you guys are all aware of like the HVAC issues we've had over there. The first year, if we get under this contract, they'll come in and do diagnostics on all those HVAC units. I believe we have 13 of them on our side. And so to have like Sutter do the same thing, it's around $300 per unit. One of the things to point out, though, is whatever they find, they don't necessarily, part of that contract isn't necessarily to fix it. So if they find their HVAC unit's running great, but for some odd reason, the air conditioning isn't making it from the HVAC unit to the area it's supposed to, and we find like a dampener switch or an actuator or something that's been maybe put in wrong, wired wrong, whatever kind of gremlin it was, they'll actually find that for us, and then it'll be up to us to get it fixed from that point. So that part I feel like is really needed so we can get optimum use out of our HVAC units. This also includes the smoke panel system, which we actually completed last week. So we got through all the pods, and our smoke panel system is actually operational now and working well. They've all actually been lowered to a reachable height as well, just under the, or just above the ceiling tiles. So yeah, a lot of good work got put in last week.
Okay. These are all the rooftop, right, Todd?
Yeah, the
HVAC.
Yes, sir.
HVAC, all rooftop.
Yep.
When were they put in?
Original, for the most part. Some of them would have been originals.
I thought they were all replaced.
And you know, that's before my time. I was under the understanding.
No, I know it has been since years ago. Wasn't that what we did
was one of the first projects with ARPA.
Okay, I wasn't there during that time.
So they're, I don't know what the warranty is on
well,
new those.
Yeah, and like one of the things we found out with the last, like at the last meeting we had was there's actually not much covered under that warranty because we had one of the things you guys approved was getting the HVAC unit that's down right now repaired. And the only thing that was covered under the warranty on that was the compressor motor itself. Everything else was just a two-year, I think it might even be a one-year warranty, which isn't very much.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think, I think we can, and you know, I can't say it for a fact, but they are newer HVAC units. And I think once we have the diagnostics done, I don't necessarily anticipate any issues with the units themselves. But I do think, just from what I've been seeing, that we're going to find some downstream stuff that's not going to be super expensive, but there's some other reasons why we're not getting the full use out of them that we should. They are working a lot better. We've got that programming in now that I've been using, and I think I've got everything kind of evened out and dialed in to where it's comfortable in all areas. You're not getting super cold areas and super hot areas. So. And then this also covers the smoke panel system as well. One of the things that's also is this is going to cover that equipment, even though that's top-of-the-line new stuff we got. If anything outside of the warranty or when we go to do an upgrade, when we're under the maintenance contract, if for some reason we need an upgrade on any of that equipment, say it's like 5 years down the road or whatever, it's covered under that. But that also includes any software updates. Another thing that's valuable about it is while we're under the contract, we could always access all of our information if we were to have some kind of bad outage or some kind of equipment failure. So like if that Jace, for instance, just took a crap on us, it'd probably be covered to get it replaced, but all that information that was on it, if we weren't under a contract, would be lost.
So that... you know, this thing will have to be built into the jail budget.
Yes,
built,
I understand.
Built into the bill going forward. So some of that decisioning on the 1, 2, the 3 year would kind of be based on their budget. But I think that we should, you know, at least do the first year and then they can figure it out going forward in their budget.
Yeah, they've got it built in. I think it's, you guys have to forgive me if I'm wrong, I think it's a 5% increase every year. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, what, around $500 a year is what it increases. I definitely think it's a good idea the first year, second year probably. Third year, we'll kind of see how it goes. I don't know if we need to live with it for 5 years. But, you know, the first year, to be really honest with you, I think they'll be able to get all of our bugs out. And so we'll be in pretty good shape.
So, Kim, is this an item, you know, since it's a budget item for them, is it something that we need to vote on? More informational because it's something that is going to be in the jail's budget itself.
What's the price?
Just under $10,000.
Oh, I don't think you have to vote on that.
Yeah,
and then I think year two on up will be right at $10,000, right?
And that'll just be done on an annual basis.
Yeah, and I was planning on having them build this into the budget. This is just more for your guys' information.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Board to approve or deny having the county attorney send a letter to TKE to terminate the contract for elevator service.
We've got the new contract at the other place, so we just want to terminate this one.
Okay.
The one from 1996.
Yeah. Move.
We need a letter for that. Move to. Okay, I'll second.
All right, Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. Approval of designation of the Dakota County Star and his dog as the legal newspaper of the Dakota County.
Oh my gosh.
2025.
I'd like to make a motion to approve that.
I'll second.
Only to forget to pet it.
What's
the
dog's name?
This is Noodles. She's actually an employee of the newspaper. She's the director of security.
She's a sale.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe
yes.
All right. Old business. Jolene, road report.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We had 197.5 hours maintaining roads, 10 hours overtime, 90 hours on tree removal, 4 hours hauling salt and sand. Sand, 4 hours hauling sand. We had the salt brought in June. 20 hours snow removal, 44 hours hauling gravel into the yard, and that's been the, we've got just under 750 ton of that crushed concrete for M Avenue. They started hauling that in. 21.5 hours on sign repair, grading concerns were on Elgin Avenue, Gulf Road, and Ireton. They got the Bluff Road Bridge done and opened back up. Over there. I mean, it's not perfect, but
no,
it's an improvement.
It's, much, it's a huge
it's
difference.
It's a good improvement, so. Any questions?
I don't think so. You stick around at the end, but I just need to touch base with you after we're done.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go to discuss ARPA projects. One of you calculator guys, so you guys got the sheet that the proposed things on here in the yellow. Would somebody add them up? A lot of really good things have been done in the county with the money, but it has been, I mean, the courthouse certainly been updated in a way it never would have had it not, and some things for law enforcement and our local entities for sure. But next year, it's going to be a whole different animal because we just got back from the NACO conference, and the way budgets are done are going to change dramatically. So it's going to be with no ARPA tree and 0%. Raises, it's going to be a very difficult time.
Marty, I wonder with the if there is any dollars left there, that might be something that we could or you could obligate to the current public defender's office when they move into the new, because there'll be some work that would need to be done in there.
Yeah. There had been requests from the local fire departments too. That they're like Dakota City's getting an ambulance. They're looking for money for a road radio and some things like that. So that's a
well. Anyway,
yeah.
Just
if they move.
When they move. Anyway, I just wanted to mention.
Brian, what's your number?
120,026.
Yeah.
And 80 cents. I think 80 cents.
120 what?
120,026. 120.026.8 something.
Okay. So that would be the request, and that would be the money. So we're already like
no. So like I said, there was some changes made to these dollar amounts.
Oh, okay.
Stuff. So because of those changes that were made,
okay,
this amount on the agenda changed after I left last week for NACO.
So if everything is approved, that's the number there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if something doesn't get approved, you add that back in.
Okay. Very good. All right. Well, let's start down the trail. So the first thing is board to review and approve or deny quote for the courthouse restrooms. Rodney, do you want to address that at all?
Well, yeah, I wasn't here for the last meeting, but I understand that there was, you know, the huge discrepancy. And you all wanted to know what was happening, and I'm sorry, but I did not put the scope of work into that.
Okay. Yep.
But it's in front of you now. Each and every bathroom is laid out.
Okay. Okay. And that $15,000 price, so... That looks good. You know, to have those restrooms gone through, which would be one of the last things the courthouse would need, I would say that would be a
great idea.
Great idea.
Like, make a motion to do that.
I'll second.
And you're approving the
Modeling. Yep. $15,000.
I see.
And the board to review and approve. Oh. Yeah.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Next would be the board to review and approve or deny a quote from the assessor's office to purchase 2 MS Surface Pro tablets to help with field appraisal work.
This would allow Sam and our contractors to go out and actually do it in field instead of having to go out, do it on paper, bring it back, download it. They could do it right in the field.
And it may be a cost savings to us because they have less time.
Yeah.
Well.
So, and Melissa can take it home. Like if there's a blizzard or something, she could actually take it home and do her work on it too. Those laptops are so slow. And like Cherie said, to get a hotspot to get hooked up, doesn't work.
I would say that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Make a motion to approve that.
A second.
Troy.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Brian.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Next is the board to review and approve or deny quotes for a road project, which is a semi-load of plastic culverts. We ordered we approved the culverts for M Avenue, and we approved a load of steel culverts, and now...
Yeah, and now these are the plastic ones. There's a little confusion at the last meeting, but because one vendor had lower quote on the metal, but not on the plastic. So DSG has a bid of $18,000 for a semi-load of plastic culverts.
You don't think it could hurt us going forward, the fact that we have those all bought ahead, so then we wouldn't need to budget for them, you know, going forward? I don't know. Probably not, I would think.
We have that nice fence in Dakota City now. We can lock them up be able to store that. So, especially like you said, going forward, on our budgets are going to be kind of scary in the next few years. So,
I'll make that motion to approve that.
I'll second.
The board to review and approve. Oops, I better let us vote first.
Marty.
Yep.
Brian.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes. All right, the board to review and approve or deny quotes for the new desk for the clerk's office. It's about the last desk in the building, I think. I'd say this would be the time to do it if, because I don't know when it'll ever get done in the future.
So moved.
Second.
All right, Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. M Avenue ARPA project on concerns regarding the width of the road ditch approval on November 25th, 2024. Make decisions on how to proceed.
I've Mr. Lux had talked to me, and he's concerned about the 28-foot road width. You know, just they have some pretty big equipment, and just kind of worried that it's not quite wide enough if two semis with trailers go in there without, you know, if you have the right conditions going in there, if it's slippery or whatever, just too close for comfort. That was
a concern.
That was a concern. And if you drive by, I don't know if any of you drove by S where they did the road, that's 28 foot, correct, Jolene? Mm-hmm. If you drive on that, I don't know how you'd get two semis on that, but maybe you can.
Go ahead.
Do I have to approach the table?
Yeah, why don't you come on up? Give us your name. And
yeah, my name's Kenny Goobles. I'm on one of the residents lives on M Avenue. I'm just south of Fiddler Creek, about a quarter mile. I think Troy knows where I live. He
yep.
helped build my house. I thought I was the only Goobles in Dakota County until this morning, but I guess I'm an uninformed citizen of M Avenue, so I was just kind of curious of 1,000-foot view of what is proposed to go on the road, because I've talked to Dan Lux. I would very much share his concern. He gave me a road profile. I'm in the construction business. The one I saw was 25 feet wide. So I didn't know if it was, you should have said 28, but.
The 28, right?
State specs, yep, is 28. 28 foot.
28
so
foot.
That's what it's being built to, is 28 foot.
Okay, what, and from where to where?
We're starting just south of the Lake Road.
Mm-hmm.
To not quite Fiddler Creek. We're kind of doing, it's kind of hard, but like, so basically 210th Street, which officially is not on M Avenue, to 240th Street, which again is not officially on M Avenue, to try and get that 3-mile stretch in there.
Okay.
Get the road shaped up, get some proper drainage going on that. I did speak with the engineer on this, and they said the maximum they have ever designed or would design a road for is 30 feet on a gravel road, simply because then you start having issues with your drainage, your ditch. You start going out too far, then you're looking at buying easements right away, all of those issues. 28 feet at first can seem kind of narrow. Once the road gets worked in, it will push out a little bit, as all roads do. You get grass built up in there.
Bluff Road is paved at 28 feet.
Bluff Road pavement is 22 feet. Each lane is 11 foot on the
Bluff. Okay, road. Yeah, we went to the 30 foot bridge. We expanded the bridge.
Yep, we expanded the bridge there in case someday we could ever. So the paved lanes on there are 11 feet. You know, technically, if you're hauling wide loads down that road, you should have pilot cars, if you're worried about meeting two 14-foot wide vehicles, you should have something on there. But yet again, the engineer said we could possibly go to 30 feet. There's areas where it actually isn't that wide, so you would need to have add some fill to make it 30 feet wide. Not a lot of areas. It's a very wide road. Mm-hmm. Just the idea is to get it shaped up and get some proper drainage in there. So,
most of that road, I measured the road on the drive-in this morning. I learned about this on Friday. I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm an uninformed resident. But I measured most of that road. I just got a wheel in my truck. Most of that road, I would say, between those areas is over 40 foot wide.
Yeah.
Which is
which I understand that. Right in front of my house, the road is about 32 foot wide, which that anybody that lives out there, M Avenue is really the main super highway to get in and out of that area.
A lot of traffic.
And it's, yeah, the line of sight is not very good on that road either. I guess I would question if we've done like a traffic study or anything like that to know, you know, what speeds we're looking at on that road, because I would have major safety concerns with even a 28 foot wide road, given the amount of semis that run that road with Lux Brothers, Stewart's, and then every farmer. That especially during harvest.
The speed limit set by the state.
State.
Gravel or county.
Gravel roads are 50 mile an hour for the state.
Right.
If you wanted to go to 30 foot, you know, there would be some change order in with Cooney. Mm. He was the low bid on that. You know, then you kind of run into the worry of if the engineer doesn't feel he's reasonable with the amounts he wants to change order.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're looking at throwing it out and having to rebid everything to the 30-foot, redo the bids. And with this being an ARPA project, that leads to some issues there. So, granted, there is a big difference between his bid and the next bid up.
Actually, there'd be.
So this has been engineered.
Engineering's
done.
Yeah.
It's been
going on for months and months. Yeah.
Okay.
Ultimately, there'd be less dirt work because you wouldn't have to narrow the road up as much, I would think.
It just depends on where there was. Mm-hmm. If you had a haul to fill from somewhere.
What was the driving concern about this cost of gravel on the road? They're spending to grade the road, or what's?
No, driving concern is the flooding that we have out there.
Just the not proper drainage, whereas you said in some areas it's 40 foot wide. We're not getting water off the road. It's pothole and it's rutting up. There's a lot of issues. I mean, we're a couple of spots. We're right next to some of them telephone poles out there. And the road itself has shifted east about 6 foot over the years. Once you get it by Dan Lutz's where his driveway comes out, there was concerns where, you know, you pop up over that hill and then it comes over.
Mm-hmm.
Where that shifted because of his driveway is where the road should actually be.
And how we come to land on M Avenue is because it is such a busy road.
We're trying to better it. Is what we're trying to do. That's what we want to do.
Right. I was just trying to get my arms around what's really the driver behind this. It was cost to maintain and grade.
I kind of wanted to do that. That was maybe I started it, I think. But, you know, we have some money and a lot of money goes to South Sioux in different areas. But we thought, you know, that's a highly traveled road. We have a lake out there. And I think we all thought it'd be a great idea if we could do something out there just to make part of it better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that road will ever get better given the amount of traffic it's on unless you do something to change the soil characteristics that are out there in that area. I mean, that's a clay, silt, almost fatty clay. I guess I don't know if you've done soil testing out there, but
there's a lot of clay in that road.
You get that soil to its liquid limit, it's going to eat all the stone you ever want to put on that road. You know, that's the main issue. And the line of sight with it would be terrible to narrow it up, I think, with the amount of traffic that's on it. But
40 foot is too wide. We don't have the drainage.
Well, I agree with that. I think 32 foot range is probably a lot better. But
like I said, the engineer said he would be willing to go to 30. But like I said, once you start going out more, then that's starting mess with your easements and having possibly purchase right away and all of that. So
yeah, it'll wipe out.
What are the costs going to be to re-engineer and change it at this point?
Right, right.
That's
what is the schedule for the construction?
Bad timing.
What did I say?
Spring?
March, April or something, wasn't it?
March, middle March, weather pending. So and we do, I have all the plans, you know, you said you are in the construction. I do have plans in my office if you'd want to stop out there and review some of that yourself.
Yeah, I would like to take a look at them.
Marty, if I could just bring up one last thing for just anybody that was here for the discussion when Trudy Jepson was here about M Avenue and maybe the state participating in some of that cost on getting the road paved from the highway to the lake entrance. They did call me back and said that being it's a county road, there would be no state participation in that project. So just wanted, for the public record, that was addressed, and they will not participate.
The only way we can get those numbers down would be if the village of Hubbard would want to annex out to the lake, then we could get the speed limit down. I did talk to Dan and Josh, so the engineers on this M Avenue project, and they said they could help us draft an agreement, a 100-year interlocal agreement, something like that with the village of Hubbard, stating that they let us pave it, we would take care of all the maintenance on it. I think that's what concerns them, is we would pave it and then dump it on them and walk away.
But he says there's ways around that. So, I mean, it's not completely dead in the water if Hubbard would be willing to kind of look at some agreements maybe in the future to try and do something there.
Yeah, I think my gut feeling is it'll be a long time before the county has another paving project the way the budget's looking going forward.
Anyway, that was just for the record.
Yeah, you bet.
So do we need
so are we going to stick at 28 or go to 30 or?
The 28 has been approved, correct?
Yes.
That's done. And this is just discussion on that.
Yep.
If you would feel better having the engineer come back, he couldn't make it to this meeting, but he said he could come back at our next meeting to discuss it further if that's an option you guys wanted to take as well.
Because the funding's already approved. So I guess it could be discussed. I don't know that there's a lot of. Do you have a bunch of that money in your budget for change orders on M Avenue, Kelly? yeah. So, I mean, it wouldn't hurt anything to have the engineer to come back and discuss it. But because the project's already approved, I don't know. What do you think?
Wouldn't hurt nothing.
Wouldn't hurt anything.
I'd listen to him.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll talk to Josh about coming back.
Board to review and approve or deny MEI for the M Avenue Construction Engineering Oversight.
So this is the actual construction oversight on M Avenue. He figured it would be about $8,000 to $10,000 per mile of construction oversight needed.
Okay.
I think this was last week, 2 weeks ago, Sheree, but was he thinking this was a conservative number to throw out there?
So his email just says he spoke with Dan. I'm assuming this is Josh talking. We anticipate it will be around $8,000 to $10,000 per mile, so $25,000 to $30,000 total for the engineering services.
So then, like you said, if we do have a little construction oversight in there. I would probably, I don't know what Sheree threw in for a number, but I would say go $25,000.
That's what.
And then anything else I can take out of the federal aid road fund.
So that would be the ARPA for the engineering on that. We put in $25,000.
Okay. Then motion?
Yep.
I'll second.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
All right. Next, we have the board to review and approve or deny quotes for additional cameras at the County Road Department. That quote came in.
So we got four cameras. Dome camera.
Yeah.
And then five cameras. Board. Pull of cameras and one dome camera. There's five.
$5,250.
I'd make the motion to approve it, unless there's any other questions.
I second.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
No.
Bob?
Yes.
Board to review and approve or deny quote for HVAC mini split for Department of Motor Vehicles room.
So the mini split that's in there is too old for any parts.
Do you have any idea how old, just out of my own curiosity?
I do not know. I didn't ask the question.
Yeah.
But they're no longer parts available for it. I can get that part of the building up to about 68 in the winter. In the summer, I know it runs constantly.
the mini split desk
yes,
there.
Sir.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And it looked like you had a pretty competitive bid on that.
It does, yes. I was quite surprised, actually. Much like the bathroom stuff.
Good. So what was that
if number? We could get them to move, then we wouldn't need a mini split. But
their boss wasn't interested in that. So.
They didn't want to.
I was just throwing it out
and
there.
They didn't want to do it, Rodney.
I know.
So the bid is $5,375.
That's correct. And this gentleman lives in Dakota City. So.
Yeah. So I would make a motion that we put the new mini split in at DMV.
Second.
With the Dakota Comfort Heating?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, just wanted to double check that.
Yep.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
He was very enthusiastic about even knowing we were interested in him going further. He could put in bids for anything
good.
That goes wrong. So
that's very
who
good.
Is it, Rodney?
He's a well. His name's oh, Buzz,
Trevor.
But
Trevor.
Yeah, he oh, lives here right in the city. So okay.
Yeah, I've been around jobs that he's been on. They do nice work.
Good. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've met him.
Yeah. Board to review and approve or deny quote for snow removal equipment. So our last snow, we had an incident where our how old is that? Do you know what your original tractor is?
I do. It's 2009.
Okay, so the tractor that we had, the snow blower, dropped the piece off the front of it, ran through the blower, blew all the guts out of it.
Yep.
Having trouble getting parts for that.
Yes,
if they can find them, they're trying to manufacture some parts for
they,
it.
They did manufacture parts for it, and it is back in our garage. But yeah, they're even wheel bearings and seals and stuff they cannot get for this for the original Simplicity. So the parts are not
Simplicity was part of the international line. They also made mowers and some other things like that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But they no longer make anything like that because they were the first ones I went to to look for bids, and they said they don't sell anything with a cab. And so there was two places I'd went to. One was at Walt Hill Service, and the other one was at Kubota. And he never did send a bid in. I sat down and they had a used unit and the new units, and I said, "Hey, give us a bid." He never sent it in, I'm not sad that he didn't.
Well, it would have been.
Let's
put it that way. My guess is it probably been a little higher.
Well, he was not. Anyway.
Okay.
This gentleman was super friendly. I don't know if we would get anything cheaper. And
what kind of warranty does that have?
It comes with, hold on, I did write that down, sir. So it comes 2-year bumper to bumper without glass or tires. And then 4-year drivetrain, parts and labor is included.
And
the only thing that we would have to pay for was transport it back and forth. That doesn't come with it because I asked him that.
Back and forth to have it worked on.
Yeah, to Walt Hill Service. If we
had to have something to do with it.
Yes. So the last unit or the Simplicity is 16 years old. I don't know when you're going to have another opportunity to get something. And
so does this have it has a cab on it?
It does have the cab. Will have to be installed. That is part of that is on the bid itself.
So it would be on full time.
Yes, it would be on full time. It comes with a blade also, so we would have a secondary unit. If the blower goes bad, the snow blower, we could move snow with a blade on the back of it.
Does the 26553 include the blower and the blade?
Yes. Well, it's an option.
No, but is that included in the 26553?
Yes, it is.
Okay, the blade and the.
And it comes. It, you can either use the snowblower on the front, or it has a bucket too, right?
It does have a bucket. That's correct.
Okay.
It comes with the bucket.
all in one. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Make a motion to purchase this loader from Waugh Health Service.
Yes.
Second time. 26553.
Brian.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
One last thing.
Yes, sir.
When would we have this?
The one that was there was available, but now it's sold. So he's talking about middle of January. He has to order three at a time to get them. But he was pretty positive he was going to have that by middle of January.
Okay.
As a timeline. But
and then he'll put the cap on it, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What do we do in the interim?
Our unit is working right now, so we won't have to pay the $200 an hour to have snow removal.
Okay.
But it might not snow by then. Anyway.
Right.
Ever.
You got to walk behind. Get one of those walk behinders.
Yes, sir.
We do.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Board to review and approve or deny quote for salt spreader. During the last snow, I know the salt truck for the county went down, and the chain that pulls the salt out, they have a problem. They're having a little trouble getting parts for that, and actually the city stepped up and helped us out a couple of spots where we needed some salt, so it was really nice of them to do that. So they went and got bids for that salt, and that's the short and long of that.
All right, I'll move to approve.
Second.
Bob?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
So, if all the numbers are correct, that leaves us with $15,385.61. Kind of started in the beginning, from what I understand, is with some of our local fire departments. So I would like to see the remainders. What do we have? Three of our local ones that we did in the beginning: Jackson, Dakota City, and Emerson. So I would like to see that split between those three.
Second.
Have to ask, how about Homer? Did Homer get anything the first time? So
is there one of the it's the
is it four?
Dakota City and Jackson are together.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's right. We're Dakota City and Jackson.
So throw Homer
and yeah. We aren't leaving you out, don't worry about that. Yeah. Sorry about that. Homer.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Is done. ARPA is done. Thank you.
Yeah. And to all, a good night on the ARPA. Okay, Commissioner Committee reports. Anybody have anything?
I have nothing.
Marty and I both went out to Kearney, but we figured out that doing the budget's going to be really tough coming up. I heard some counties that are actually hiring accountants to take care of this and send them to classes on this so they can get it figured out. There was a gentleman there that used to work for Schwann's, right?
Yep.
And anyway, pretty interesting deal. He kind of has Meals on Wheels. He goes around and feeds thousands of people. Sounds like he's building more trucks. He's built out of Kearney. That was very interesting.
Yeah,
listen to him. He's a super, super nice guy. Motivational speaker, pink Cadillac. Went away with that with a smile on my face. You might think sometimes you might think you're having a bad day, but after you hear some of these other people, the situations they've been through and the life they had, I tell you, that was really good, wasn't it, Marty?
I thought it was very good, yeah.
Yeah, sure. That was pretty neat. And we got to look at lots of equipment and different things. I got some paperwork I brought back for different pieces of equipment, like especially for the roads department going forward that they might possibly be able to use.
The one that I found interesting that I went to talk to you with is, and I don't know
it actually goes on the front of a grader. So when somebody, when you go ahead and you go out and you have the turf that gets on the road, and then that'll go back and forth a few times before it breaks down. There's actually a kind of a mulcher thing that goes down it. So I don't know if it'd be worth looking into or not, but it's something to think about. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a I thought it was a good conference. Mostly went out because of the budget and the changes to the budget. They did say before they talked about the budget for 2.5 hours that there's going to be another session at the unicameral, so nothing we talk about may
could change.
May be the truth. So they said in May they'll have another workshop on budget after the legislature's done. So hopefully at that time they're going to try to come up with some templates for the counties that they can kind of follow. The auditor was there, and he said that you know, they're not interested in busting anybody's chops, but they want everybody to kind of get in line with this. So it sounds like there's going to be some resources to figure out how to do it, but it doesn't figure out, like, there doesn't sound like there's going to be much money out there. So it'll be interesting.
For sure. And it didn't sound like he even is on board with everything. I mean,
no.
There's a lot of variables there. So.
Yeah, for sure. Mail or emergency business? Brian?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
All right.
Aye.
Aye.